Oh, Heavenly Father, I come to you today realizing that I don't have the power, the capability of sharing the truth that you've laid on my heart in my own power. But, oh God, I thank you that it's not my own power that I have to do this, but I can rely on your strength and on your empowerment. I pray that you would guide my words, thoughts, and actions. And, oh God, we need to hear from heaven today. Lord, won't you work in our hearts? Won't you mold us into your image? And Lord, we are claiming our position today far above the enemy. We're claiming the victory that is found in you and you alone. And as Satan would desire to get into this service today and hinder, Lord, we're claiming his defeat. And God, we thank you for all that you are going to do. I pray that our hearts will be drawn to you. In your precious name, amen. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we find Moses, and he's keeping the flock of Jethro. To him, it was just a common thing to be taking care of the sheep. That was his job. But the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he had led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now Horeb was an amazing place. Horeb was the place where Moses would later get the Ten Commandments from God. Horeb was a place where it was a monumental place to Moses. And in this section of the Word of God, Moses is just going about his job, just doing something that he does on a daily basis. And he comes to an encounter with God, and it radically changes his life. Today, I'd like to preach to you a message entitled, Take Off Your Shoes. Take Off Your Shoes. Now, feet can be a very nasty thing, right? And to be honest, you don't want to be around me when my shoes are off. I have nasty smelling feet. But, okay, feet are not usually something we think of as beautiful. But in the Word of God, when people would take walks through the country roads there, they would get dust on their feet. And their shoes would become very dirty. And in this passage, we find Moses, he comes and he encounters God, and God tells him, take off thy shoes, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now let's notice the common everyday setting that's going on here. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. In verse 3, Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now Moses here, he's just going about his daily business, taking care of the flock. And he says, I'll turn aside. I'll see why this bush is not burning. And looking this up, I'll turn aside. It's almost as if Moses is saying, you know what? I've got something that's more important here, keeping the flock of Jethro, but I'm gonna turn aside and see what's going on here. You know, this is just kind of a sidelight, but it's got my curiosity up. And it might sound something kind of like this in our modern day culture. You know, you've met a friend a long time ago, and you walk up to somebody else and you say, oh, you should really meet my friend Sam. He's a great guy. And the other guy that you're talking to says, oh, Sam, what does he look like? I think he might have brown hair, maybe glasses. I think he might be married and have a couple kids. Or you know, I don't exactly remember what he looks like or what he's doing, but he's a great guy. It had been a long time since Moses had met God. Moses was going about his business, just doing his daily task, and he comes in contact with God. And it radically changes his life. Just a few ideas that I get in reading these few short verses so far. Sometimes we get sidetracked by life's duties. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with the things that we're going about doing, they might not necessarily be bad things, but we get sidetracked. You know, we go to work at Burger King, in my case, and work 30 to 35 hours a week and come home and you're so tired you just want to sit down and vegetate at the computer or something. You neglect God. Guys, I know what it's like to go out there and work in the secular workforce. I've experienced it off and on since 2011. It can be a very, at times, oppressing experience, working with all those ungodly people. But here, you see what I'm saying? We can go out and we can be involved in things that aren't necessarily bad. We need to provide for our needs. But in providing for our needs, oftentimes we can get sidetracked from what's more important.
Right.
And we can say, I'll turn aside and I'll see this great sight why the bush is not burned. A lot of people, you know, they try to explain away the burning bush. They say, oh, it was some scientific phenomenon that this bush wasn't burned up. There are actually bushes out there that they will look like they're burning, or they will, in fact, catch fire and not be consumed. But this actually, and the research that people have done, they believe that this was some form of a thorny bush, a bush that would have been readily consumed. And it caught fire. This was miraculous. And Moses comes and he says, I'll turn aside and see this great thing, why the bush is not consumed. But it became the greatest encounter that Moses perhaps had in his life. Because it radically changed his focus. And throughout his life, we find him continually turning to the one that he met this day. And so he says, I will now turn aside and see this great thing, why the bush is not consumed. I have a question. What in your life is making you be robbed of the time that you need to spend time with God? Is it maybe a computer? Is it maybe that cell phone? Is it maybe that iPad? Maybe is it a friend? It could be all sorts of things today, my friend, that is keeping you back from actually spending the time with God that you need to spend with Him. Take off your shoes, is what God tells Moses here in just a couple more verses. But another thing I noticed is that God will meet us in the stillness of life. You know, the hustle and bustle of cities is not the greatest place to meet God. You know, when all your siblings or all your kids get up in the morning and they're running around the house everywhere, that's not the best time to read your Bible. I've discovered that. You know, I'll get up in the morning and I'll try to read my Bible, and then next thing I know, all my siblings are up and I'm just in for a frustrating morning trying to read my Bible. Because I have to have like total silence. It's like I have a very one-track mind. When my mind gets on something else, it's on it. So I'm all on all this hustle and bustle of what my siblings are doing, not on what I'm reading in the Bible. God will meet us in the stillness of life. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. What in your life is robbing you from the quietness that you need this morning? What in your life is robbing you from the quietness you need to meet with God? Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. I think that is kind of what kept him back from the quietness that he needed. But here, by a divine appointment of God, he goes off into the backside of the desert and he meets with God. At first, it's a matter of curiosity, and then he turns his focus and he becomes intent. Because in verse 4, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You know, I have in my Bible a little note. It all starts here with being yielded. It all starts here with being yielded. When God calls to you and God says, spend time with me. When God says, you need to be focused on me. You need to get rid of the distractions, the things that might not necessarily be bad, but the things that are keeping you back from me. You need to go in the stillness and meet with me. And you say, here am I. It all starts here, with being yielded, with saying yes to God, with being willing to get out of your life whatever you need to get out of your life to meet with God. And the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You need to get your mind where your heart should be. But oftentimes what we do is we get our mind where our heart should not be. But the Bible says in that verse, James chapter 4, 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. When we take the first step toward God, He will take the next step toward us. And He will meet us in the middle. That's the way that God works. You know, it's kind of like this. As I was driving down to North Carolina one time at the end of a break, I had a fellow with me from Ponape. And he's not seen a lot of things around here. And we were headed down through the Beckley, West Virginia area. And New River Gorge is down in there. That's a beautiful place if you've ever been there. If you've not been there, that would be an awesome place to go. But, you know, I've driven by that place so many times. I've just been kind of intent on getting where I was going. But this day, as I had Brandy with me, I said, you know what, he'd probably really like to see this. I'll turn aside and see this thing. And so I turn off into this little overlook area, and before I know it, I'm like taken with the beauty of the mountains myself. And I totally forget that we have a curfew, we need to get back to Ambassador, you know. We did get back on time, but for the moment, that was just like totally out of my mind. So I'm out there snapping pictures. And then I go and get back in the car and I drive a few more miles down the road and I'm like, oh, this looks like a nice spot to look. And so we go off and I turn aside and see another great sight. You know, that's how it can be in our life. We can just get so distracted in our day-to-day business. But Moses here, as he gets his focus back on God, he finally becomes intent. He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And in this passage, Moses comes with a very close encounter with God and actually begins to have a dialogue with God. It goes from curiosity to an intense pleasure of being with God. And you know, if we would just turn aside for a minute, spend some quality time with God, I think it would be the same in our lives today. And Moses, as he is going about his daily business and he encounters God, he learns three things about the character of God that we'll briefly evaluate in the time that we have remaining. He learns three things about the character of God. If you would, jump back to verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, like I said earlier, this was kind of an amazing thing. That the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. You know, it got me to thinking about how the character of God never changes. This bush lasted. And you know what's nice tonight and what's a blessing to realize is that no matter how circumstances in life change, no matter where we are in life, God never changes. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. That's what the Bible tells us. And God has also had no beginning and no end. In our human finite minds, we cannot understand an infinite God that has no beginning and no ending. But in some degree, we can share in that through salvation, because our life will go on for eternity. It'll have a beginning, but it'll never have an end.
Amen.
Wow! That's exciting to actually think that we can experience to a certain degree the very nature of God. And I submit to you today, my friends, that God wants you to share in the nature of God today as well. God wants you to experience His holiness. And really, that's the idea that really grabbed my attention out of Psalm chapter 17. And the last verse, it says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Amidst all the wickedness that was going on in that passage, against all the people that were attempting to get after David, that were getting him to turn his focus aside, sidetracked from the thing that he needed to be involved in, he went ahead and he said, "As for me," you see the singleness of David's focus, "I will behold thy face in righteousness," the subject of David's focus, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness," the satisfaction of David's focus. The singleness of David's focus, no matter what other people were doing, he would behold God's face in righteousness. The subject of David's focus, "I will behold thy face in righteousness." To behold literally means to gaze upon. To be so caught up in something that you can't get your heart and mind off of. You know, I have this curious habit of a lot of times if I'm talking to somebody or if I'm sitting there listening really intently to something, I'll be listening to what you're saying, but my eyes will be turned somewhere else and I'll be like fixed up in a corner somewhere. And like, it's almost like there's something in that corner that's like grabbed my attention. But I'm really actually thinking about what you said. I don't know. It's just a weird thing that I have. But anyway, I think that's sort of the idea in this psalm. As you get so focused on something, so caught up in this sense, the right thing, that you can't get your mind off of it. And that's what David says in that psalm. "I will behold thy face in righteousness." And it doesn't say, "I am satisfied." It says, "I will be satisfied." Today, are we satisfied with where we're at spiritually? Here at Mount Zion Community Church, are you satisfied with where you're at? You know, A.W. Tozer said something that was quite revealing. He said, "I want the presence of God Himself, or I don't want anything at all to do with religion. I want all that God has, or I don't want any." Wow. Tozer will really make you think. As you listen to that statement, "I want the presence of God Himself, or I don't want anything at all to do with religion." He would rather be somebody who totally ignored God and had nothing to do with God, was not caring one bit about God, as to just be a mediocre Christian. As somebody who is content just to come to church and not really grow closer in their walk with God. He says he wants all that God has, or he doesn't want any. Today, do you want all that God has, or do you not want any? Honestly, I do hope that is your attitude. Because the Bible says, "You shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." God will not leave you disappointed this morning. If you really want to know God, if you want to know the God of this Bible, He promises to reveal Himself to you. He promises that He will dispel all the shadows of darkness that try to creep around your mind. And that's the first thing that we find in this passage. You know, fire is an illuminating type of a source. You know, oftentimes in the olden days, they would have fireplaces, and that would be the way that they would get their light at night, or they would have lamps. And that fire would illuminate. It would provide a light source for these people. And you know also how the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I think I shared this with you the last time that I was here, but you know that lamp idea? It's in the Bible days, they had lamps that would actually be attached to their leg. And it would be strapped there. And as they walked, that lamp would cast a light on their very next step. God doesn't promise to show us our whole life, but He promised to show us the next step. If you're pressing on the upward way, gaining new heights every day, God will show you the next step each and every day. And so this brightness, this holiness of God, it dispels the shadows. It shows us for who we really are. Today, have you gotten a glimpse of the holiness of God? Or have you been so sidetracked by the things of life that you haven't really taken the time? I have to be honest. There's been days and yea, weeks sometimes that I've been so caught up in my own life that I haven't really taken the time to look at myself in the light of God's holiness. And that's when life gets so uncertain. That's when the shadows of life begin to creep around our life. But the holiness of God, Moses learned, dispels the shadows. It dispels the shadows. You know, if you're trying to make your way through a dark room, a lot of times it's very easy to trip. Especially if the room is not very neat. But, you know, if we would just get in God's Word and let it illumine our path, we will be fine. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 43 and verse 3, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacle." And in Psalm chapter 19 and 105 and Psalm 119 and verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." When you don't know how to live your life, when you don't know what you should do, just check out this book right here. It's called the Holy Bible for a reason. It gives you the mind of God and dispels the shadows. And notice is also that the coming in contact with the holiness of God brings a place of separation. Brings a place of separation. And the word of God, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Now Moses was out in the desert all by himself, except for with his flock. Nobody was out there. He was all alone. And in this one pivotal moment of his life, he came in contact with the holiness of God. You know, when you come into contact with the holiness of God, it will bring a place of separation. The Bible says, "And that ye may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and the clean." That's Leviticus 10:10. Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." In another place, the word of God says, "Be ye therefore holy, because the Lord is holy." God tells us that we should literally be reflecting the holiness of God. We should be separate from the world. We shouldn't allow the things that the world indulges in to become a part of our lifestyle. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 22, "Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 32, "Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you," or set you apart. In this passage, the Bible says we should not profane the name of God. We take a look at our world, even our Christian world, and we find Christian people saying the same kind of things that the ungodly people say. You know, if we've really gotten a glimpse of the holiness of God, if we've really taken a look at our lives, it would change the way that we talk. Now, this was a very revealing statement by A.W. Tozer also in his book, How Do We Worship? I'm going to read a paragraph to you. It says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base as a worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. Today, what do you here at Mount Zion Community Church perceive God to be like? We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. So in other words, what we view God as, that's the direction in which we'll move. And the Bible said, or this passage, or this quote says, this is true not only of the individual Christian, but of the company of Christians that composes the church. Always, the most revealing thing about the church is her idea of God, just as her most significant message is what she says about him or leaves unsaid. For her silence is more often more eloquent than her speech. What we do not say about God says a lot about what we think about God. We can go about our daily lives and God can not even be in our conversation. We can talk about the sports channel. We can talk about all sorts of things. We can talk about what we did at work today. Those things are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. But when they are talked about to the exclusion of God, it's time for a real checkup. The holiness of God will bring separation. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1:15. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I do not give this illustration to make a boast of myself. But as I said earlier, I've worked with Burger King since 2011. And I'm working with a lot of people that could care less about God, to be honest. And there are some days I come home and I just don't even want to work there anymore. I'm like, get me out of here. I have a respect for you that can work in the secular workforce and come here to church and walk and live with God. And, you know, in some ways, you have it a lot harder than somebody who's headed in the direction that I am, planning on working in a Christian environment most of the time in the church, preaching to saved people. No, in a lot of ways you have it a lot harder. But all glory to God. I was at work one day and this man and these people were talking and they were using all kinds of filthy language. And they looked at me and they said, we're going to influence you in a bad way, aren't we? He said, you're going to start talking like us before too long. And then one of the other people that was involved in the dirty language piped up and said, no, we're not going to influence you. They said, you've been working with us for what, about 3 years now, and you're not like us yet. That's what they said. Why? Because they saw a difference. When we come into contact with the holiness of God, it will radically revolutionize our view of everything. The holiness of God brings separation. And I alluded to this earlier, but the holiness of God never changes. Never changes. That bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. That bush, in fact, I believe, by very essence of the fact that it was not burned up, was the same after God left as before he came. There was no changes to it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here at Mount Zion Community Church, have you gotten a glimpse of the holiness of God? You know, having been down at Ambassador and living up here part of the time, I've noticed something kind of interesting that you all have probably noticed too in some of your travels, that you can go away from a place, be gone for a long time, and when you come back, it's just the same as before you left, but it looks a little bit different. I mean, because like I'll walk into the dorm after I'd been here for a week or two, and I'd be like, man, what is this place? I'm like, my bed's over there, and all the clothes I left behind are up here in the closet. Oh, this is the room where I've been staying. It's almost like you get so focused on the environment where you have been, but when you go back, everything is the same, and then eventually you recall the place. It's familiar to you. Do you recall the sweetness of fellowship with God? Do you recall the moments that you just spent reflecting on God's holiness? Can you honestly say that you've spent time in God's presence today? Can you honestly say that? Before you came to church, can you honestly say you spent time in God's presence, or did you just kind of rush about your morning? Say, oh, I got to get to church. And then get in a fight with everybody when you're on your way to church. And then it gets kind of nasty after that. I know what those days are like. I couldn't find my glasses this morning, of all things. Okay, and they were tucked off into a corner. And you know what my temptation was? I got to preach at Mount Zion today. I won't be able to see my Bible. I won't be able to see to drive up there. I can't find my glasses. I might just have to go up there blind. That was my temptation, to get really, 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 really angry. But while I was praying that God would help me find my glasses, I prayed, Lord, help me keep a good attitude. Because I want to get angry right now. And I, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, it's so good to see you, Sam. It's been a long time. There's been a lot of changes since I saw you last. I hope that's not how you view the holiness of God. Like, it's been a long time. I hope that's not the case today. But I would have to admit, considering the condition of our churches, by and large, and fundamentalism, considering the condition of me at times, and Christians as I look around, I would say there's probably some in this room who maybe have experienced that. And my friend, that is not God's design for you. To go days, yea, weeks, maybe even months, without even giving a thought to the holiness of God. You know, the privilege of knowing God and of spending time in His presence only comes after we humble ourselves. Later in that passage, the Bible says that Moses was afraid to look upon the face of God. And later, he says, who am I that I should go and do this thing? That I should go and free the people of Israel? And the Lord says, I will be with you. And then when he went to the people, he could say, the I Am has sent me. He could say, God Himself has sent me to you. Why? Because he had spent time in God's presence. And it radically revolutionized his life. At first, he was afraid to look up on the presence of God. But then later in the Word of God, as he goes up into Mount Horeb the second time to get the Ten Commandments, when he comes down out of the mountain, his face glows with the very holiness of God. It will change you when you come into contact with the holiness of God.